hope you guys are ready, because our youth pastor, Pastor V. King, is going to be preaching today. Woohoo is right. I want to tell you, over the past year, this man makes me cry. Not in a bad way, but just in a good way. Because when you see the Spirit of the Lord grab a hold of somebody, and when you see them just doing amazing things for God, it just makes you just bubble up with tears. And Pastor B. King is just an amazing man of God. He has grown so tremendously just over the past few years that it just awes me. And one thing that I admire about him is that he loves children. I mean, he really loves children. And he loves kids that aren't even his. Some of you are laughing, but some of us, it's hard for us to love all children. We like them. I mean, we love them, but sometimes we don't like them, right? But he genuinely does. This man goes to baseball games, and he doesn't even like baseball. But he will come and watch my son's baseball games because it's my son and because he loves them. He goes to graduations. He goes to football games. I mean, he's just all over the place because he knows how to invest in kids, and he loves them. So we asked him to preach today, and one of the things he said when he was asked to preach is he wanted to bring the kids in here. Because that's his heart, are the kids. So I want you to welcome Pastor B. King. Our kids get to participate in service today because he has something special for them. But I want you to welcome Pastor B. King as he comes up. If you could please stand just to honor him as he brings the word this morning.
Amen. Praise God. I know that's usually the kids. We're like, we're snack. Oh, that's right. Y'all don't get a snack today. Well, y'all better eat of the word this morning then. All right, so this morning, my title of this message is The Proof of Love Equals Sacrifice. Again, the proof of love equals sacrifice. And if you would, just turn with me to John 21, 15 through 17. And as you're turning there, let me preface this. See, love is a verb. It's an action word that one can say over and over, I love you. You can say I love you until you're blue in the face, but with no action to demonstrate how much you care, those are empty words. I know you probably heard them before. Think about it. Last weekend was Valentine's weekend, right? And you could have heard, I love you, but if you've got no card, no candy, no nice, nothing nice. I mean, I even got a little card here from my little child, my youngest child, just to show that she cared. She, like, made this. But if you didn't get something that was a testimony of how much they cared, it was like, just another day. Some of us went out to eat. But it's a sacrificial action that you have to render yourself to show how much you care, to prove to that special someone how much you care. I mean, think about how God proves his love for us. In John 3:16, I know we know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one only begotten son. So the Father gave us his son as a sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. Why? To prove how much he loves us. And then he goes on in John 14, 16 through 17. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. See, the Father doesn't only give us the Son, he gives us the Holy Spirit. Why? To prove how much he loves us. But then let's think about the Son himself. See, the Son himself in Luke 22, 42 says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. See, the Son sacrificed himself just to prove how much he loves us. And then you may think, what about us? What do we do to prove how much we love? Sacrifice. The proof of love equals sacrifice. See, in John 14, 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, I know that we've wrestled sometimes with keeping some of the commandments. I know you have because I know I have. See, it's not always easy to keep the commandments, to keep the word, to have it guarded in our hearts and follow after everything. But it's a sacrifice to do the will of the Father, not our own. And so if you've walked with Jesus a while, you've had those take this cup away from me moments, have you not? But we've also found ourselves in this place, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And that's the sacrifice that the Father deems necessary. Not our will, but his will be done. Again, the proof of love is sacrifice. And so if you're there, John 21, 15 through 17, let's get ready to read. But before we do, let's do our Bible affirmation. So if you would put your Bible's electronic devices high up in the air, wave them like you just don't care. Oh, yeah. Amen. Y'all ready? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. And Lord, we just thank you in advance for this word that you're going to deliver. Set me aside and speak through me, Lord God, that the people, Lord God, the sheep under your care, Father God, would hear a word that comes straight from the throne room and transform lives, change hearts and mindsets, Lord God, that we know that it's all about you and not about us. And so we thank you in advance for the sacrifices that will be rendered, Lord God, from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and read John 21, 15. You may stay seated, because you know you can look up and read. Amen. All right. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. This passage actually takes place right before our resurrected Savior would ascend to heaven to be reunited with the Father. However, before he leaves, he must be restored from that moment. Y'all remember what I'm talking? Oh, y'all don't remember. Okay, I'm going to need some little helping hands to help me. So y'all come on. I need y'all to remind the old folks here. Amen.
Satan has asked for you to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers.
But Lord, I'm ready to go with you to both prison and to death.
You will deny that you know me three times before the rooster even crows.
This man was also with him.
Woman, I do not know him.
You are also one of them.
Man, no, I am not.
Surely this fellow is with him, for he is a Galilean.
Man, I do not know what you are saying.
They play so beautifully, don't you agree? Little hopping hands! I got y'all. Amen. Jesus died on the cross, was buried on the tomb, rose on the third day, reveals himself to the disciples, and now preparing to ascend. But he must attend to restoring Peter from that grain of salt that he may have felt like, back to the rock that he was destined to become. And so now we find ourselves in John 21:15, where it says, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. See, my first point is love sacrifices to provide for the spiritual welfare of the church. See, Jesus says to Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. See, he knew they were hungry. He knew they needed to eat. So what does that mean? It means to provide food. See, most of us know, usually we think about feeding and we think food, right? And I just want to think about how much I love food. And I may not look like it, but I love food. Especially my sweet tooth. And I thank those of you who provide for my sweet tooth. I mean, it's like, oh my goodness. Miss Lori. Miss Lori actually reminds me it's my birthday. Sometimes I even forget. That's how much my birthday becomes just another day on the calendar. It's Miss Lori who comes up with a pineapple upside down cake or a cheesecake and say, happy birthday, Pastor B. And I'm like, oh yeah, it is my birthday, huh? That's right. And then she messed around at the Super Bowl party and brought a pineapple upside down cheesecake. So she morphed it together. And I'm like, that's what I want for my birthday. So I got dibs. Next birthday, Miss Lori? Yes. Absolutely. But it's just her demonstrating how much she supports, how much she loves, how much she cares for me. She doesn't, you know, she has a husband. But y'all know it's not that type of love. It's that brotherly love. It's that supportive love, that sacrificial love that sacrifices her time, her personal time in the kitchen just to make something. And I'm not the only leader she does this for. She reminds everybody their birthdays. Right? All of us. And all of us got our own special cake. And then there's Pastor Jen. Pastor Jen has this awesome dessert that she brings called the Peach Delight. She doesn't bring it all the time, but I tell you, when she brings it, it's got to be special. It's got to be one of those moments where it's just like, I know Pastor Jen loves me. Because I know she specifically brought this thing for me because she knows how much I love it. I mean, I love this thing so much. Get this, at the Y, we had a potluck at the YMCA. Or no, Alcala. And, you know, we had service and the food was off to the sides. And we had ants that invaded. The ants invaded the peach delight. And I'm like, hey, You better not throw that away. And Pastor Jen's like, wait a minute, they got ants all. This is nasty. You got ants. I'm like, hey, they better watch me. So the peace delight is just so much off the hook that, you know, ants or no ants, it's good. That peace delight ain't no joke. That's why they call it delight. Amen. But again, usually we hear food or feed and quickly relate it to providing a food. But we're talking about providing the bread of life this morning, which is the word of God. In Deuteronomy 8:3, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So again, he's talking about feed, which is provide the bread of life, which is the word of God, to my lambs, which means the people in the body of Christ. See, we hear lambs and we think of the babies or the little ones, like Deshae up front, which is like one of my like favorite little lambs. But you got to think about it. When we come to Christ, I'll take myself for instance. When I came to Christ back in 1999, I was a 27-year-old man, but a newborn baby in Christ. See, I needed some help to help me to understand, to grow me up spiritually, to become this man that you see before you today. But it took some time and some development in the care of other people to pour into my life that I would be here. And so I got to give thanks to Pastor Jeff, Pastor Shana, Pastor Alex, Pastor Jen, Deacon Mark in the back, Mr. Grady, Ms. Dorothy, Pastor Nancy, Vanna, Lawrence and Patricia Abamolafua, my lovely wife, Lydia. I mean, and so many other people, Brother Rick. So many people that have poured into my life and shaped and molded this man before you today. I would not be the man that I am had it not been for them. That's good. Give it up for them. And if y'all been with this church lately, what about Pastor Jerry in the OSL, in the Rock Church? I mean, just transformed, blew our minds by leaps and bounds and taking God at his word, believing in him at his word, and believing that I am who he says that I am. Again, how else would one learn about God and his spiritual truths had it not been for kingdom-minded people? People who sacrifice of themselves and pour their lives into you. Praise God for all the Sunday school students who was actually teaching me how to be a better teacher. See, they think it's always about me pouring into them. It's them pouring into me as well. I mean, when I grew up, being a Sunday school teacher and a youth pastor was not in my to-do plan. That was not my end goal. But now there's no other thing that I'd rather do on a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday night. Anytime I can invest my time in them, I'm there. And so sacrificing to provide for the spiritual welfare of the church, this is what we were called to do. Where would it be again had it not been for so many that have sacrificed themselves to partner with this ministry, to show what it looks like to sacrifice time away from their families, time to be selfish and do what they want to do. But it was how much they love God and showed themselves approved by God. This is what you do. This is what you do if you love God. You feed the sheep. You tend to the lambs. Ever wonder why it's called sacrifice? Ever wonder why it's called worship service? Because we were meant to do something. And these people before me and that are here even today did it well and showed an excellent example that I'm proud to say I followed, I modeled after. I've taken something from every one of you, and thank you for what you put into my life. Thank God for bringing you as part of this body and enveloping your time and your efforts and your love, your sacrifice for me. And I take that personally. Thank you. For in John 21:16, getting back, he says to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, tend my sheep. See, Jesus says to Peter, if you love me, tend my sheep. Take care of the needs, serve the flock, which is my second point. Love sacrifices to serve the members of the church. See, let me break something down for you. This isn't just for Peter. See, we must ask ourselves the same question. Do I love Jesus? And if I do, how much? What will I do? What will I sacrifice to prove? See, he's already proved how much he loved us. How much are we willing to prove how much we love him? He says, tend to his sheep. How much are you committed to sacrifice and to help out in our children's department? How much are you sacrificing to commit to our prayer ministry and attending prayer meetings? So what about taking that thing that you love to do and creating a small group out of it? See, how much are you willing to tend to sheep? See, let me tell you this. One of my favorite small groups was Gamers League. Let me tell you a little about a Gamers League. Gamers League was a small group that I could take my love for video games and crush the competition. Okay, that was a little exaggerated because I get there and get my tail just torn. These kids nowadays are so good. I don't have it like I used to. I don't play as much as I used to. So it was like when us as the facilitating adults would have like playoffs and they would see like they had us and it was almost like a bye to the next round. Like they gave us like no respect. It was like, oh, I got Pastor B. Yeah, whatever. It's like almost so, like, this wasn't in Gamers League, but it was one particular moment. I was playing, or I called myself playing with Bub. And we were playing Super Smash Brothers. And he is really good. And I'm sitting up there like, okay, Bub, what does this do? What does this do? You know, what does this do? And I'm sitting up there trying, just pushing buttons. And he, trying not to hurt my feelings, just, I'm thinking I'm doing something, and he's just, so it's the face, it's the gesture, it's the meekness. Just put it down. Just put it down, Pastor B.
That hurt my feelings.
But again, this is just a small portion. I know I'm not the only one who loved video games, or I used to. Actually, I still do. Yeah, I still do. I'm just not as good as I used to be. But, I mean, that is just the passion that's what small groups is about, taking a passion that you may have and sharing it with the church. Like, you know what? I'm passionate about this. I'm willing to start a small group about this. The outdoor group. Oh, my goodness. Who would think that, you know, folks would take the passion of just hiking and walking trails and running and whatever they do. And folks are excited about that they grow in numbers. And next thing you know, it's just like this big snowball effect of ministry going forward. It's like, goodness, my hips don't take that. I'm with y'all in spirit. So if you're excited about something, you're passionate about something, I encourage you at the end of the service, you know, we're going to have sign-ups for small groups' interests. And so if you're willing to take and sacrifice your love for something to grow this ministry, I encourage you at the end. But again, sacrificing is serving the members of the church. But let me throw this in there. Or could it be said that you can't serve because you're too focused on yourself, or having folks serve you, or other folks tending to you? See, in Mark 10:45, as I pop your bubble, For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And so there was one weekend of the leader team got together and we prayed and really caught hold of this ministry of action, this ministry of just serving. It's not about being served, but serving. And serving this church well. And that's where the waiters thing came out. Waiters was this acrostic that we came up with, which was the W was the worshipers who wait on God and wait on others. The A was acknowledge God's presence and his anointing, but the also flowing that anointing. I is identify, investing in the identity of God's people. T is teaching the word and training. E is exhorting, encouraging, and equipping disciples. R was restoring, repairing, and reaching the lost. S was shepherding and sending sons and daughters. Do you see how much that's not about us? It's about other people. It's about serving other people. See, again, it's not about us. It's not even what you can do for us as leaders, but it's what we can do for you. But it's not what we can do for you. It's helping us to encourage you. How can we help you? How can we equip you to help others so that you're not always the one being tended to and served? We all got to grow up at some point. Amen? And so it may be reaching out, visiting someone that you haven't seen in a while, making a meal for someone like a pineapple upside down cheesecake. You know, these kids always seem like they just always have some type of fundraiser that they're doing. Support them. Partner with them. They're doing something for school, for science, I don't know, whatever it is. It's a good thing. Support them. Providing healthy snacks and water for the kids in the back. What about watching someone else's kids? Now that's a sacrifice. But what I've learned over the years of, as Pastor Jen actually alluded to some of them, what I've learned in doing that stuff, attending the games and graduations and all that stuff, it puts me on display as to how much I care. See, when they see me at these games, when they see me yelling their name and shouting and going crazy for them, see, like the baseball games, if Jordan or Jeffrey or any of them are up the bat, then I'm like, go, go! And as soon as they're down, then it's like I'm sitting down, you know, because I don't do baseball. That's not my sport. Basketball, I'm all, you know, I'm Coach B, I'm whoever they want me to be. I'm there. But again, it's how much you put yourself on display to sacrifice your time to show them, to prove to them how much you care for them, how much you love them, how much you support them. And because I love Jesus, I love his sheep. I tend to his sheep. At least I do the best that I can, because I can't beat everything. But guess who else could? Us adults who have cars, who live in walking distance from a school that the kids go to. Whatever it may be, whatever it may be. John 21:17 says, he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. See, if you haven't caught this vision of love yet, you can't just say I love you without any action. See, my third point, point blank period, is love is a sacrifice. Again, you can't say that I love you with no action to back it up. See, a sacrifice may come in the form of doing something for someone else to demonstrate that you love them, even something that you don't want to do, even something that you're not passionate about. Let's take my household, for instance. Early in our marriage, do you love me was summed up in one word. Not with yes, but with dishes. That's right, dishes. We're talking about dishes. Okay? After work, back in the day, y'all, after work, I would come home and I would unwind in front of the TV playing video games. TV would be blaring because you got to have the surround sound, pumping all in your face, and I'm getting it. And Liv would come home, and she would see me playing video games, which I don't think she would have had a problem with had she not looked to the right and seen a sink full of dishes. So what the dishes represented to her is how much my time was more important than hers. It signified that video games is more important than supporting her. As if she didn't already have her own 9-to-5, if she didn't have her own stuff going on, if she didn't already have stuff with the ministry going on, as if she wasn't busy enough on her own. And then she has to come home to clean, make dinner, and do the dishes that I should have done. But my thing was always, I'll get to them later. Really, I'll get to them later. But later wasn't good enough. But again, it was interpreted as I didn't care. Little did I know. And then in the marriage ministry, as most of y'all used to be in the midst of our drag out sessions, where dishes was exchanged for another D word. I think I know what I'm talking about. And praise God that it didn't happen, because come July, we'll be celebrating 15 years. But again, it took sacrifice of them dishes. So I don't know what your thing might be, but Pastor Jeff always used to tell me, if it's important to them, you can't discredit how a woman feels or how your husband feels. It might be small to you, but it's a big deal to them. So I saw dishes. She saw love. So if her love is summed up in dishes, I can sacrifice to get some love. I'm willing to do this in order to be loved, to show, to prove to her how much I love her. But again, it takes sacrifice. And so just like the little helping hands demonstrated earlier, even though Peter said how much he'd go to prison, even though he'd go to death, we could be zealous in our words and mean them. But when the fire hits, you know, when the fire hits and it's time to get down with the get down, those words might come up a little empty. I mean, they clearly demonstrated it. I'll go with you to the fire. I'll go with you to prison. I'll go with you to death. That's one of them. Man, I am not. I mean, he was, remember, he meant it. He truly meant how much he would go. But just like we'd say, yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Of course I love you, Jesus. But when it's time to sacrifice, did you get that look of shame? See, when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? He was actually referencing agape, which is sacrificial godly love. Will you love me as a sacrifice? Will you love me completely surrendered for the sake of the flock? And so to keep it real, Peter says, I'm probably reminded of last time he took that challenge. I love you, but I got brotherly love for you. I'm not willing to sacrifice. We already been proving that. But I do got brotherly love for you. And he asks him again a second time, and we got the same response. Do you agape me? No, I have phileo for you, that brotherly love. And so the third time, Jesus finally asked him, do you love me? Do you phileo me? I believe he wanted Peter to be challenged, but to also be encouraged that he would use Peter right where he was in the kingdom. See, I know you're not willing to go all the way, but I'm willing to use you where you are. So since you say brotherly love, love me from right there. But I still want you to tend to my sheep. So if you're going to love me like that with that brotherly love, tend my sheep. Which leads me to my closing. Many of us hear a call for a need in the church, and our initial thought is what I can't do, or better yet, what I'm not willing to do, what I'm not willing to sacrifice. But as the scripture clearly stated to Peter, we have to also ask ourselves, do we love Jesus? And if so, what are we doing to feed his lambs? What are we doing to tend to his sheep? What are we doing to build the kingdom? And so as you ponder these questions, again, at the end of service, you'll have an opportunity to get involved. But I've got to show you this. See, God wanted to show me, as well as you, the fruits of sacrificial labor or sacrificial service. I say ours because even though I may have served and wore these hats, many of you serve right along with me. So that's why I say ours. Let me just ask you this, out of showing of hands. How many of you have been blessed out of the Midnight Basketball Program? Just show of hands. And if when you get there, just leave your hands up. What about those who've been blessed by Boys to Men and YLD? See, we're going way back. We don't got that many hands, but we have a few. What about those of you that have been blessed to come to the YMCA in Ocala and just to be able to sit down and plop down because the facilities team has served you by setting out those chairs, setting out that equipment, setting out everything? You didn't have to come and do anything, but yet you just came and got ministered to because that facilities team served. What about those of you that just even today heard an awesome time of worship and you participated in praise and worship and you were ministered to through praise and worship? Come on, leave your hands up. Leave your hands up. What about those of you that were prayed for as the prayer ministry just served you by praying for you? Miracles took place. Healings took place. Minds were transformed. Restored families. Just things that took place because of the prayer ministry ministered on your behalf. What about the Asher's Army? As we call it now, the Band of Brothers. Those men that were ministered to, those men that were strengthened as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpened another. As we got down with one another, as we prayed for one another, cried with one another, and strengthened one another. What about our marriage ministry? How many marriages have been saved from the brink of divorce because that marriage ministry went to bat? Our servant leaders, how awesome are our servant leaders? Oh my goodness. How many folks have been baptized in this church? How many folks have been ministered to through Future Pros? What about OSL? And those of you I have the privilege of being a youth pastor to, and then those of you who've been ministered to through small groups. And if you've been ministered in any of those areas, I want you to put your hands up. And those of you that also served in those areas, I want you to look around and see what we've done, what we've done together. See, this isn't about one man, even though it is about one man, and that's Jesus. But it's us. It's about us serving together. This is what we've done. This is what we do when we serve, sacrifice unto God. When we love God, this is what we do. And so I caught the vision of sacrificing to serve equal in my life as being the blessing of Abraham in my life. What do I mean by that? I have four daughters that have my DNA. But as I look around the room, as those hands They drop, but as they go back up, as they go back up, as they go back up. Oh, there you go. I have the privilege of impacting so much more than four. And so in Genesis 22:17, it says, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is in the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. See, Father wants to bless you and multiply you as the sands on the seashore and as the stars in the heavens. And I want you to look up. Take a look up. And see the stars in the heavens. Look up. This is what we do. This is the blessing of Abraham on our lives. We have our families, but this is what we do. This is what God allows us to do when we sacrifice. That it goes so much beyond our children, our families, but ministry. We get to partner with Abraham and say, these are our children. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. These are our sons and daughters in Christ. This is what God has allowed us to partner with and touch and encourage and minister to. Again, when we sacrifice, when we prove our love, this is what we do. Amen. So what do I want you to do with this message? I want you to love on the Lord as he put on your heart to sacrifice your love to him. See, if you need a suggestion to make an impact for the kingdom, I want our servant leaders to come up at this time, and I want you to talk to one of them. If there's an interest that you have, reaching people for Christ through small group, whether to attend a small group, whether to help facilitate, whether to start a new one, I want you to talk to one of them. We have volunteer needs to serve in our family department. If you've been ministered to and you want to give back, you want to sacrifice in our infant class to be an infant room lead. You may not know what that is because I don't even know what it is. But I'm sure somebody will tell you. Pastor Jen will tell you. So the infant room lead, I can tell you, or she'll tell you about the infant room leads and the toddler class lead. I can tell you in particular about the junior high class teachers, the high school class teachers, for aides and for helpers. And then in particular, we need help in our office. And so if you would, if you feel led in these three areas, see Pastor Jen in particular. If you feel led to volunteer in our office for a couple of hours a week, see Pastor Jen. If you want to help with our prayer team and with caring for other members, see Pastor Jen. And if you want to help in event planning for church celebrations, if you are one of those that are just go, go, hoorah, pipe everybody up, and you like planning stuff, you can help Pastor Jen tremendously. Amen. But I pray that this word has encouraged you. I know we have visitors here, so I pray that this word encourages our visitors. This might not be your church home, but go home, go back to your church and make your church home better. Amen. Partner with your church and do what God has called you to do in your church. Serve, for this is a sacrifice and proof of your love. Amen. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Pastor B. I'm going to ask Pastor B if he would just stand off to the side or stand by the door. And before you leave today, if you would make sure that you go and encourage him on his word today. Also, if you're interested in volunteering in the family department, you can see Pastor B. He can get you plugged into that. I do want to say one thing. I was taking lots of notes as he was preaching, and I was reminded of one very important thing. Pastor and I, B and I, have both had this experience where we've been serving in this church for a long time. And I think it's safe to say neither one of us really thought we were pastor material. And we both kind of found our calling in life through service. And we got into church and just began to serve anywhere we could. And when I first started serving, I remember I served in a toddler class. And I thought I was about to have a mental breakdown. Like, I was like, 2 hours cannot come quick enough. I was like, I can't deal with the noses that are running. I can't deal with the crying. I went potty on myself. I can't deal with that. So that was the first place I tried, and it didn't work. But you know what? It didn't deter me from serving. I just said, you know what? That wasn't a fit. Let's try something else. And I kept serving, and I kept serving, and I stood in the gap in seasons where I didn't feel like I was gifted to serve in certain areas, but I just kept serving. And Pastor B did the same thing. And kind of through that journey, we discovered, oh my gosh, we really love God. We really love people, and we will do whatever God tells us to do. And I want to encourage you, if you are not in a place where you are giving outside of just your family, start. You need to give to your family first. But if you're not serving in this church, find a place to serve. If you're not faithfully involved somewhere, find a place to get faithfully involved. Because you will be surprised how much of your destiny is linked in serving others. You'll be surprised how much God will speak to you through you plugging in and giving a sacrifice to others. I see a lot of times people will start serving and then they'll stop serving because they don't like someone or they don't like what was said or they don't like how things are being done. But God's like, I'm trying to grow you through that and you keep getting stuck. I'm trying to usher you into your destiny, but you keep staying stuck because you don't like something and you leave. Sacrifice. The gist of his message today was love is a sacrifice. Showing love is a sacrifice. So I want to encourage you, show your sacrifice. Maybe you can't serve formally in church. Well, you know what you can do? Take somebody to dinner. That's service. Invest in somebody else. Call somebody you haven't seen in a while. Send a text message to them. Buy somebody food who's struggling. Go knock on your neighbor's door and say hello. Bring them cookies, if you can cook cookies well. If you can't, just buy some and deliver them. What am I saying? Let's serve. Pastor B said this, we are zealous in our words but lacking in our actions. Ouch. Sometimes we're so zealous to say, I love God, I love God, I love God, but you won't serve your spouse. I love God, but you won't serve the toddlers or the infants, because it's not your gifting or call. Get somewhere and sacrifice. Amen? Here's the benefit. God doesn't tell you to do things that aren't good for you. I have found more benefit in sacrificing and giving than I ever have in just being selfish. It enriches you. You can talk to any one of these people today if you are interested in serving. You can just let them know, hey, I'm interested in serving. I just don't know where yet, and we will get you plugged in. Be flexible. You might try the toddler class and be like me, on the verge of a breakdown, and decide that's not going to work for you. No problem. Let's try something else. You're not stuck in it forever. All right? All right. Stephanie, can you come up here too? Because Stephanie has a good resource. And Crystal, if you wouldn't mind. You can see either one of them too. If you are looking for a place to serve, they will get your information, and we will be ready to go. If you need prayer this morning, don't leave without getting prayer. If you need healing in your body, if you're in need of a miracle, you need a relationship mended, please feel free to see one of these people because that's what we do. Release God's power. So if you need that, it's available to you. Amen? All right, stand to your feet. God, we thank you for this awesome word today. We thank you, God, that you have blessed us with time, with talent, with resources, that we get to give to you and to other people. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to touch each person today. I pray for your Holy Spirit to reveal to them how they can serve, how they can sacrifice, God, what they can do to help those in need, how they can feed your lambs, God, how they can meet the needs of the church, and how they can give their own personal sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for your presence today. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you. As you go about your week, I pray when someone asks how you're doing, you would say that you are blessed and highly favored of the Lord. You are dismissed. Please make sure that you encourage Pastor B on your way out. Amen. Thank you, Pastor B.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.